Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Citizen International Digest. I'm Mel Gertov. I'll be reporting and commenting on the most important and sometimes the most neglected international news of the week. Here are today's top stories. Germany's election, good and bad news. President Zelensky of Ukraine tries to find a silver lining in the U.S.-Ukraine minerals deal. And Trump's pro-Russia stance reaches into Congress and the United Nations. First, Germany's election. As polls in Germany had predicted, Friedrich Merz will succeed Olaf Scholz as chancellor. His center-right Christian Democrats were the winner in parliamentary elections. But the second-place finish of the far-right AfD was just as big a story. The AfD won 19.5% of the vote, the Christian Democrats 29%, and Scholz's Social Democrats 16%, the Greens fourth with 13.5%. Although all parties have pledged to continue the firewall against forming a coalition with the AfD, a tradition that J.D. Vance specifically said should end, that party's anti-immigrant, neo-Nazi stance is bound to influence German politics from now on. The most likely next step is that Merz's party will have to form a coalition with either the Social Democrats or the Greens. Merz denounced U.S. interference in German politics, but that didn't sway Musk, who said in a social media post that it was only a matter of time until the AfD wins an election. Shortly after the election, Merz made clear that Germany's foreign policy will change to meet Trump's sudden abandonment of commitments to European security. My absolute priority will be to strengthen Europe as quickly as possible so that, step by step, we can really achieve independence from the USA, said Merz. I never thought I would have to say something like this on a television program, but after Donald Trump's statements last week at the latest, it is clear that the Americans, at least this part of the Americans, this administration, are largely indifferent to the fate of Europe. No statement more clearly captures the impact of Trump's embrace of Putin. Although U.S. officials have said the U.S. still supports NATO and its Article 5 commitment to collective security, Merz isn't convinced. Quote, I am very serious to see how we are heading toward the NATO summit at the end of June, whether we will still be talking about NATO in its current form, or whether we will have to establish an independent European defense capability much more quickly. Next, the U.S.-Ukraine minerals deal. What we know so far about the deal, which to the Trump administration is a payback for U.S. aid in the war, is that it offers the U.S. a considerable chunk of revenue from Ukraine's minerals, while also sparing Ukraine from much worse. President Zelensky says he's pleased that Ukraine is not presented as a debtor in the draft agreement. The agreement provides that the U.S. will receive half the revenue from future mining, not from existing mines, and that the revenue will be deposited in a U.S.-controlled fund. Trump has apparently dropped his demand for $500 billion worth of Ukraine's natural resources. According to a Times report, quote, Ukraine has deposits of 20 of the 50 minerals the U.S. Geological Survey lists as critical for America's economic development, including titanium, lithium, and rare earths. Zelensky also thinks he has obtained an assurance of future U.S. support for Ukraine's security, though the reported wording is vague. The draft agreement says the U.S., quote, supports Ukraine's effort to obtain security guarantees needed to establish lasting peace. Previous drafts did not say anything about security guarantees. Zelensky and Trump are scheduled to meet soon in Washington. Trump's pro-Russia stance reaches into Congress and the UN. Not one Trump cabinet or other official has been willing to say that Russia invaded Ukraine. That simple fact has suddenly fallen victim to the president's reset of U.S. relations with Moscow. At the United Nations, the U.S. found itself odd country out when it tried to push through a resolution in the General Assembly that muddled the issue of responsibility for the war and simply called for peace. That resolution was so amended to make clear Russia's responsibility that the U.S. delegate had to vote against her own resolution. In Congress, Donald Trump continues to run roughshod, evidently believing he can do what he pleases without fear of an adverse reaction. That applies to his Russia policy. Opposition to Russian expansionism and dictatorship used to be a cornerstone of Republican foreign policy. Not anymore. You have to look very hard to find any senator willing to take serious issue with Trump's embrace of Putin and parroting of the Russian line on the Ukraine war. Even those precious few who have their doubts mask it with statements like, he has to be given space, or he didn't consult me. Note that these are the same senators who have consistently voted for more military aid to Ukraine. Take, for instance, Iowa's Senator Joni Ernst, who once said, quote, by strengthening and equipping America to push back against our adversary's aggression, Congress has stepped up to do the job this president, referring to Biden, will not. Now she's speechless. Among the few senators who have spoken up is John Curtis of Utah, referring to the defeat in the UN of the initial U.S. resolution that whitewashed Russian responsibility for the war. Curtis, a Republican, said, quote, I was deeply troubled by the vote at the UN today, which puts us on the same side as Russia and North Korea. These are not our friends. This posture is a dramatic shift from American ideals of freedom and democracy. Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska, said, quote, the president clearly has the ability, has the authority to be negotiating. But I think many of us have suggested that negotiating peace on Putin's terms is not acceptable, unquote. But these senators are the exception. In other news, the U.S. is using spy planes along the border with Mexico. CNN reports that U.S. spy aircraft, such as the U-2, normally used to detect Russian and Chinese movements, are now mainly being used along the border with Mexico to detect drug operations. Moreover, the overflights are occurring far more frequently than any previous times. The aircraft have the capability to reach deep inside Mexico. But the flights raise a question. Will the intelligence they collect be shared with Mexican authorities, or might they find targets for the U.S. military to strike, as Trump has sometimes vowed to do? It seems that people like Tom Homan, the so-called border czar, are looking for a fight with the cartels. He told ABC News, quote, do I expect violence to escalate? Absolutely, because the cartels are making record amounts of money, unquote. The border area, which actually has seen a marked reduction in migrant crossings, may wind up being the scene of military battles. The saga of Uyghurs detained in Thailand continues. When Thai Prime Minister Pet Tong Tong Shinawatra visited China in February, China's Xi Jinping proposed that China and Thailand are one family. Xi urged tighter cooperation on a range of issues, including law enforcement and the judiciary, quote, to safeguard people's lives and property. The Thai leader is said to have agreed. Xi also said, quote, China stands ready to work closely with Thailand to firmly defend the international system with the United Nations at its core and the international order based on international law, according to the Chinese report of the meeting. Nothing was apparently said about the fate of the 48 Uyghurs being detained in Thailand. If international law prevails, they should not be returned to China, but their lives are quite literally in the balance. At this moment, however, reports from Thailand indicate that the Thai government is going to cave in and send the Uyghurs back. Trump's immigration policy, whites, especially rich ones, preferred. Playing to white Christian nationalists and to South African-born Elon Musk, Donald Trump issued an executive order that prioritizes white Afrikaner immigration to the U.S. from South Africa. The justification is persecution of Afrikaners by the black majority, this after many decades of Afrikaner rule under apartheid. In South Africa, whites control 73% of usable farmland. And the so-called racial discrimination that Trump cites is actually a new law that grants blacks the right to seize abandoned or unused land without compensation to owners. Trump says the expropriation law amounts to a, quote, shocking disregard of citizens' rights. His executive order halts all U.S. foreign assistance to South Africa. He says white Afrikaners are victims of unjust racial discrimination. And he has ordered the Secretaries of State and Homeland Security to give white South Africans priority for refugee resettlement in the U.S. Elon Musk has, of course, weighed in. His upset seems to be over a South African law that requires 30% black ownership of his Starlink company. The law, which Musk calls racist, prevents Starlink from expanding in South Africa. I guess Musk doesn't like affirmative action. I have three other immigration-related news items. Trump has a plan for raising revenue. Sell $5 million gold cards to wealthy individuals looking for a path to U.S. citizenship, touting it as a way to dramatically reduce the federal deficit. These people will be given green cards and be eligible for citizenship. They'll be spending a lot of money and paying a lot of taxes and employing a lot of people, says Trump. Next, there's Trump's executive order to the Department of Homeland Security for an indefinite pause on refugee admissions to the U.S., but it has been blocked by a federal judge who said the order appeared to amount to a nullification of federal law and, quote, has crossed the line from permissible discretionary action to effective nullification of congressional will, unquote. The third item is Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem's announcement that all unauthorized immigrants in the U.S. who are 14 and older must register with the federal government or face civil and criminal penalties, including up to $1,000 in fines and up to 6 months in jail. It is hard to imagine that anyone would want to register, faced with deportation to Guantanamo or beyond, and with no assurance of legal protection. The administration is interpreting existing immigration law to justify its dragnet approach. Japan's auto exports will be hurt by Trump's tariffs. I noted last week that Trump's initial meeting with Japan's Prime Minister Ishiba Shigeru went reasonably well, but the trade issue was bound to cause trouble, and now, thanks to Trump's 25% tariff increases on imported autos, along with other threatened duties, they have to cough up to 3.2 trillion yen, that's $21 billion, in additional levies, making it harder for companies like Mazda Motor and Subaru to compete. Imports accounted for 44% of Subaru's sales in the U.S. last year, 52% of Mazda's, and 17% of Nissan Motors, according to a Japanese-based research firm. BRICS and dollars. Donald Trump has warned the BRICS group, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, against refusing to use the dollar in international exchanges. But he has nothing to worry about. China and its partners in BRICS have a long way to go to outclass the dollar in international transactions. The dollar is actually rising in usage. In early 2025, accounting for just over 50% of all currencies used in the financial messaging service known as SWIFT. The next largest currency, the euro, constitutes about 23% on average in international transactions, followed by the British pound with 7%. And from the Words Have Meaning department, two items. First, the Trump State Department has quietly made two word changes concerning China. First, it is dropping People's Republic of China. From now on, it's China. And on its website fact sheet on Taiwan, the department no longer mentions that, quote, we do not support Taiwan independence. Significant? These changes may point to changes in China policy. Just the other day, Trump declined to say he would support Taiwan if it was attacked by China. Then there's the claim by Elon Musk's Doge service that it had canceled a $21 million grant to India for a project on voter turnout. Like many of its false claims of savings, this one was wrong, and it aroused the ire of India's government. The recent revelation has left me shocked, said India's vice president. The democratic process of this country was sought to be manipulated to dent the purity of our electoral system. Trump echoed Musk's supposed findings, saying, quote, what do we need to spend $21 million on for voter turnout in India? In fact, no such project exists, but the false story adds to others on U.S. aid programs that have caused worldwide chaos. And finally, a footnote on Brazil, where a former president is charged with insurrection. Following on recommendations from Brazil's federal police last November, the Attorney General of Brazil indicted former President Jair Bolsonaro and 33 others with plotting a coup. Brazil's Supreme Court must now rule on the charges, which could result in Bolsonaro's jailing and trial. That's the Global Citizen International Digest for the week. I'm Mel Gertov. Thanks for listening and take good care.